As Yemen's longtime dictator formally hands over power to his deputy, the crisis looks far from over. Protesters still on the streets say they want Ali Abdullah Saleh to stand trial, a measure that the Saudi and US-backed power transition deal has prevented. This is News Analysis.
The 33-year rule of Yemen's Ali Abdullah Saleh came to an end as he officially handed over power to his deputy, Abd Rabbu Mansour Hadi. Hadi became president in a single candidate vote that saw low turnout. The power transition took place under a deal proposed by Arab states of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council. The deal, directly backed by the US and Saudi Arabia, was signed by Saleh and his rivals in late November. Saleh got the best in return for stepping aside. He and his closest aides were granted immunity from prosecution for crimes committed during the crackdown on a year of anti-regime protests. The crackdown took nearly 2,000 lives. This is what the Yemenis demanded from the beginning of their rallies last February. They also wanted reforms. But the U.S. and its ally Saudi Arabia pushed for a deal that only took the power from Saleh and gave it to a person from his own regime. Yemen's most powerful military units remain under the control of Saleh's relatives. The U.S. and Saudi-backed deal also gave Saleh immunity from prosecution, while the people want him to stand trial. They've been holding daily rallies since the agreement was signed to push for their demands. The U.S. and Saudi Arabia's support for Yemen's autocratic ruler comes as they've taken a very different approach towards Syria, where they blame the government for an ongoing unrest. Washington and Riyadh have been frontrunners in international efforts against the Syrian government. This while Damascus has begun a process of reforms. As the first step, President Bashar al-Assad proposed a new constitution, which was approved by nearly 90% of voters. The West and its Arab allies are putting more pressure on Syria, and even some of them call for arming opponents to instigate insurgency. Regardless of what the U.S. seeks, people in Yemen say they will go ahead with the revolution until their demands are met. They've also called for the expulsion of the U.S. ambassador.
Well, joining me now live from London is Dr. Mohammad Ghobati, spokesman for the Yemen National Council. With us live from San Francisco is Mr. Richard Becker from the ANSA Coalition. I'll put my first question to our guest in London, Mr. Ghobati. With the protesters still out on the streets and calling for the trial of Ali Abdullah Saleh, we know, of course, that the power transition deal does give immunity to Saleh and his regime. But will these people see Saleh and his regime members be tried anywhere in the future?
I think the situation is still quite dangerous in Yemen. Though I would like to point out that what has happened today, the transfer of power actually has happened 2 days ago in the parliament. The new president has given vow. He gave his vows, and also the constitutional arrangements for taking over were in place. And it was meant actually to happen in the absence of the previous president, who has managed today to appear again in the limelight. But this has aggravated very much the opposition, who have not appeared at all in this ceremony, which mm-hmm. was just meant as a ceremony to for congratulating the new president. And the youths were also must have been also aggravated by such maneuvers and so on. But the situation, as I've mentioned previously, remains very, very grave. Mm-hmm. There are many challenges facing the president. President Hadi has got to face the question of solving the problems in the north, in Saada, as well as the the southern question. And besides the issue of restructuring the armed forces and the security forces, which is quite an uphill fight for him, hopefully that he will manage to get that. And the Americans should understand that if the whole show turns out to be only a change of the head of the regime, right, without an actual change of the regime, then this is going to cause a lot of turmoil back again. We are on a sliding downhill trend towards more chaos.
And I'd like to come back to that issue that you mentioned. There is this basically about the regime changing or not. But first of all, let's bring in Mr. Becker from San Francisco and have his view on the issue of immunity first. Mr. Becker, those who have been given immunity under the GCC-backed deal, which has also been backed by the United States, are not just responsible for killing the protesters, a lot of the opposition says, but also for killing or torturing thousands of others over the past three decades that the regime has been in place. How is, do you think, Yemen going to address the issue of dealing with past crimes? Some have been saying rather than punishing the perpetrators, Yemen should focus on compensating victims. But is that going to work?
Well, what's clear is that the outgoing president is being compensated and rewarded, according to reports today in the news. Huge amounts of very valuable material has been loaded up and it is said being shipped to Ethiopia, which is also said to be his destination. But it's very, very clear that what the United States and the government in Riyadh and Saudi Arabia are trying to do is to manage the transition with as little disruption to their interest as possible. Washington doesn't really care about the people in Yemen, and it doesn't really care about the people in Syria or anywhere else in the region. You made that reference, that comparison earlier. What they care about is control. What they care about is domination. What they care about is suppressing any government or any movement, popular movement, that they perceive as running contrary to their interests. So we can read today in the New York Times, yesterday and today, that the U.S. military, at the same time as many of the military units remain under the direct control of Saleh's sons and other relatives, that the United States is stepping up its military assistance to try to crush any movements there that they feel run contrary to their interests.
Right. Well, I'm just being told that joining us now live from Sana'a, the Yemeni capital, is Dr. Issam al-Mizjaji. He's a political analyst. Thank you very much, sir, for being with us. The question, first of all, that I'd like to put to you is, we know that the situation in Yemen has changed. Saleh has stepped down, but the same regime is still in power. Will the Yemenis see a real end to Saleh's regime, do you think?
I think that the Yemeni people these days are going on what is called paradigm shift, actually. The youth here in Yemen think that they have achieved the first goal of their peaceful revolution. But actually, the question here, which always comes to their mind, is this, or the president-elect is going to be an icon for the ex-president Saleh, or he is going to change Yemen for the better?
Right, so that is the question, Mr. Mizjaji. Right now, we're seeing the same regime basically in power, just without Saleh. Do you think, are you basically optimistic about this regime being able to give these protesters what they want? Of course, one of the main demands is for President Saleh himself to be prosecuted.
I'm sorry, but if I understood your question, which means that you are talking about whether it's the same regime or not.
The question was, do you think that people are going to see the former president Saleh and those who were responsible for killing the protesters be prosecuted?
Well, it depends on the intention of President Saleh, or what we call ex-president. If he wants just, you know, to appear again, actually problems will escalate and Yemeni people also will go to the dark tunnel again. So I think that it depends on the ruling party itself. You know that we have hawks and doves in Mu'tamar party. What we are looking for is gathering all the good people of Mu'tamar with joint meeting parties along with youth and some other, you know, parties to change Yemen for a better future.
Right, let's go back to London, Mr. Ghabati. You were speaking about this earlier yourself. Of course, there are two situations now, whether this regime led by Hadi is going to move forward and bring the reforms that people want or it's not. But do you think that, however, this election was a positive step forward? Are you seeing this as a positive step for Yemen? Or do you think that the possibility that chaos is going to ensue is far much greater?
I would like to be a little bit optimistic. Let's hope that this is an actual change towards, you know, turning the page of disappointments and despair and disillusionment which the people have, you know, over the past 33 years lived in.
Mr. Ghabati, if I may, what is putting this question forward is we're seeing the protesters still out there. They're still making those demands. They're saying that this GCC mediated deal is not what we wanted. What we wanted was the trial of Saleh. What we wanted was a new regime, not the same regime without just Saleh. So how can we be optimistic when people are saying, okay, this is not what we wanted, and they're still on the streets?
I've said I want to be optimistic, but who knows what's going to turn out, because we have got now a new president there in position, and we have got still the youths in the streets and in the squares. They are calling for, as you've heard from Sana'a, they're calling for the change to continue. The new president will have, as he said, there would not be any half solutions. The youths and their hopes have got to be addressed, and if these aspirations are not addressed, the youth will continue there. The first step has been, this is a step, it has the potential of being a change whereby we have seen the dictator leaving the stage. The question is his cohorts, his aides, and his associates, especially his children and his nephews. Are they going to leave? What we hear now, that perhaps some of them might be leaving the scene. If that happens, then there is some hope that we gradually the youths will be achieving their, on the long run, some of their objectives. But still, if Saleh and his cronies continue, what remains there continues to try to mount a comeback, then this is a very dangerous situation whereby we could end up with confrontation again, and the dangers of which our global and regional partners wouldn't like to see in such a very important geopolitical position of Yemen.
Well, that's a major question, isn't it? Mr. Becker, if I could put this next question to you. We've seen the international efforts that have been made on the case in Yemen, and now comparisons are being made. Political observers have been asking, in the case of Syria, we're seeing the pressure imposed on President Assad, despite the fact that he has been calling for reforms, he has been holding a referendum, that the countries like Saudi Arabia, like the US, are calling for military intervention, whereas in the case of Yemen, we're seeing a completely different attitude. We're seeing immunity given to Saleh, we're seeing calls for a power transition. So basically, do you think that there are interests involved here from the likes of Saudi Arabia and the US that could go against the will of the Yemeni people?
Yes, absolutely. I think that's absolutely the case. I think that we can see that the US appears to have, Washington appears to have a double standard in regard to the rebellions that have taken place that have spread throughout the region, the Arab Spring. But they really, in fact, have a single standard. And the single standard is what they perceive to be in their interest. And they perceive to be in their interest the crushing of independent governments and popular mass movements which aspire to create independent governments, as I think is the aspiration of the people, the majority of people, the masses of people, the youth. who have been in the streets for more than a year in Yemen. And so this is what is motivating the United States policy and why, on the one hand, they support dictatorships like in Bahrain as well as in Yemen, but come out against the governments of Syria and Iran and other movements in the region. Right. It's really their drive to dominate what they view as the most strategic area of the world, the Middle East and the Gulf region in particular.
And Mr. Masjaji, let's put this question to you as well. Do you think that the Yemeni people, or yourself even, they can trust the United States or Saudi Arabia, these GCC countries, to bring about for them the solution that would satisfy them?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, the Yemeni people don't trust anyone except themselves. If they don't want to just to,
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, we can hear you.
Yeah, if they want just to improve, If they want just to improve them, improve themselves and bring just their calamities to an end, no one else can bring or settle the problems they have or suffer from. You know, Yemeni people have been always over 30 years or more than 30 years from poverty, spread of diseases, and some other major problems, especially these days related to Al-Qaeda and the southern movement, which wants to separate the southern part of Yemen from the north. And all of these, actually, we are yielding the problems from ex-President Saleh due to his poor diplomacy and poor management of the country. So actually, what we are going to do is we are going to push forward completing our goals and finalizing just, the goals of the peaceful revolution. Yes, we got the half of the loaf, which is stepping down, or what we call handing over the power due to the GCC broker deal. But actually, we are, or the youth are looking for achieving the remainder of the goals of their revolution.
Now, one question that's been put forward, Mr. Ghobati, if I could put this one to you, was when there was criticism on the GCC deal that this might not work, that the protesters may not accept the immunity given to Saleh, some people were saying that this was actually the only solution for Yemen and that this was what could stop civil war in Yemen. Would you agree with that analysis, that there wasn't any other alternative for the situation?
I do agree with such analysis. There was quite a big body of opinion saying that if things continued the way they were, then we were just heading towards a confrontation between the two. Especially, we had the two parts of the army. The army was split longitudinally between two factions, and the youths have agreed that, and the opposition have agreed that, as a sort of an exercise towards minimizing the losses and the killings and so on, they have agreed on such an accord towards which could play towards the other aims, especially the convening of a national dialogue conference, which will tackle all the other issues, whether the issue in the north of the north in Saada or the southern question where I come from, because there are a lot of outstanding issues which are still have got to be addressed, not least of them the question of security and military army restructuring and redeployment. And these are the actual challenges which will have to be confronted by the president and as well by the partners locally and regionally, because without sorting those issues, I think we are still having many dangers, and the situation could just prove that all of the previous exercise was quite futile if these issues are not really solved or resolved in a manner which goes hand in hand with what the objectives of the revolution have started. Would like to reiterate that the revolution has started, the objectives were clear, and there is no way that the Yemeni people could be robbed of their revolution, whatever the maneuvers and ploys are.
Right. And I'd just like to put this question to Mr. Becker before we run out of time. Mr. Becker, looking at the situation in Yemen, do you think that odds are that there will be civil war there and even talks of a division now because of the secessionist movement, as we mentioned, in the south, the Houthis in the north? Basically, we also had the issue of Al-Qaeda, which was a major issue of cooperation between the United States and the former president in Yemen. So do you think we're going to see a rise of this kind of militancy maybe in Yemen?
Well, we certainly hope for the best for the people of Yemen. The Yemeni people have suffered a lot under the Saleh government, and they have paid a big price in the revolution with many people killed and wounded. So we hope really for the best. But we have to, from our point of view, see that the United States is moving to take advantage of the situation. It's increasing its aid to the to military units. It's trying to directly pay the soldiers in military units to make them loyal to the United States. At least this is according to reports in the New York Times of yesterday. And it's clear that the aim here of Washington is to make the military there an instrument, completely an instrument of the U.S., while at the same time the Pentagon, the U.S. military, is directly carrying out military attacks in violation of Yemen's sovereignty and has been for some time, killing many people. So we hope that the revolution can move forward, that it can achieve its aims, that it can be create a new and independent government for the people of Yemen.
Live in San Francisco, Mr. Richard Becker from the Answer Coalition there. Thank you very much, sir. I'd also like to thank our guest in Sana'a, the Yemeni capital, Dr. Issam al-Mizjaji, political analyst, and joining us live from London, Dr. Mohammad Ghobati, spokesman for the Yemen National Council. Thank you very much for joining us. I'm afraid we've run out of time for this edition of News Analysis. From me, Homa Lezgi, and the rest of the team in Tehran, it's goodbye.